1926 when that came out, and we know that we're right smack in the middle of a depression almost. And so we thank the good Lord for his goodness to us tonight. Amen. I thank the Lord. He's been good to me. Yes. Father, we thank you, Lord. I give this opportunity to come to your house. I pray your blessing. I pray you'd give me unction in the scripture. I pray you'd give me the gift of teaching. I pray you'd open our hearts to receive something that's good and helpful and instructive and encouraging from your word. Father, we pray this now in your holy name. Amen. All right. Well, good to have you. Good to have everybody that's with us. It's good to be back. Amen. And thank the good Lord. I get off, you get out here and you drive with the traffic anywhere. And when you get to where you're going, you get down and kiss the ground and say, thank you, Lord. I made it. It can get bad out there. All right. If you have Bible, turn to the book of John chapter 10 with me tonight, please. John 10, Gospel of John. Chapter number 10. John 10. And verse number, John chapter number 10. And verse number, let's see what we got here. Let's look at verse number 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, Father, bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, this is quite a remarkable thing here, because he had such interaction, confrontation with the Jewish authorities of his day. I don't know if you noticed or not, but one of the Israeli soldiers took a sledgehammer to an image of Christ over there in Lebanon. Lebanon has a lot of Christians. A lot of those Arabs over there are Christians. And, of course, he's in jail now, and rightfully so. First thing they did is put him in jail for, not only is he defacing a religious object, but it's the implications all around the world, especially in a sensitive time like this, when you're in the middle of a dogfight. So what you have there, but the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 that they are enemies of the gospel, but they are the elect of God. Now that's quite a thing when you think about that. Look at the twofold nature. One poles apart. Enemies of the gospel, enemies of Christ, yet they are the elect of God. So when you look at this, you have to say to yourself, then God Almighty can see both ends of the scale, can't he? That's right. He can work the end and the beginning and the end all together at the same time. And this is what we're dealing with. Look at the book of Psalm chapter number 82 tonight. Psalm 82 and verse number 7. Psalm 82, verse 7. Now, if you look at verse number 6, the scripture says, I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. If you notice in verse number 6, God's is a small g, all right? And then when it refers to the Almighty in verse number 8, we have a large g. This is why that many spirit beings are referred to in one sense or another as a god or gods. And depending on the context as to what that means. It's important to understand something tonight, though. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he came into a world that was already inhabited by gods, if you please, demonic beings. Let me say this again when I mention demons. Some folks think that demons are fallen angels. There's no scripture that would bear that out. Where did they come from? If you want to know the truth tonight, you can't nail it down. But the fact is that they are real, and they're here. And there is no doubt in my mind that on occasion you're going to be dealing with a demon. You're going to be confronted by one. It's going to happen to you. So the scripture says here that he's talking about gods, and he said, you're children of the Most High, yet you'll die like men. Over here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 3, the scripture says, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Now the scripture says that we have been made a little lower than the angels, all right? And we have been, as far as power and might is concerned, but not necessarily fellowship and intellect. You keep this in mind. The angels wanted to look into this gospel of the grace of God. They desired to look into it. God said no. When the first law was given, the law of Moses was given, the angel was an arbiter. He was a mediator. He was the one that God used to bring that into the world among men, angels. But at first, when the law was given at the beginning, it did nothing to change the nature of a man. There's nothing in it about the spirit nature of a man. Nothing. The law could never save and could never change one. So these angels right now are watching. They're observing. They're listening. And as I've said to you many times before, they are not all knowing, and they're certainly not all powerful. And they're creatures. Look over here in the book of Hebrews chapter number 1. It says something about these angels. Hebrews chapter number 1. And verse number 7, and I want you to watch the wording as we get into this tonight. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 7. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, look carefully at what it says. It says he maketh his angels. In plain words, an angel was made, a created being. But look carefully at verse number 5 of Hebrews chapter number 1, and look how the Lord compares Christ with the angel. In verse number 5 of Hebrews chapter number 1, for unto which of the angels, here's the comparison, said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I done what? Now here we have a comparison of begotten with made. See this? All right, begotten with made. There's not a word in the scripture from anywhere from Genesis to Revelation ever so refers to Christ as being made in any sense whatsoever. He's not made. He's not, God didn't form him, and God did not create him. But there is some remarkable things said about him. Now I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 13. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 13. Thought I had them all marked, so I'll have to get to it just like you. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 13. And I want you to just kind of meditate now on what we're reading here and kind of let this sink in as to what we're saying here. Now look carefully. For Adam was first, what? Formed, then Eve. All right? The scripture says that Adam was formed. Greek word there is plasso. That means as someone would kind of put together and form something. We read over there in the book of Genesis where God took the dirt and he formed the body of Adam and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Until then, all we had was a body, not a man, just a body. But when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he became a living soul. All right, the body was made from the dust. The Lord said, from dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. Now over here in Genesis 1, 26, I want you to look at this. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 26. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, now let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, of course, this is right off the bat in the book of Genesis talking about the creation of man. But when you begin to look at this thing and run the references on it and do a little digging into it, it's amazing at how scarce the times are in the Bible where it refers to the creation of man. It's quite remarkable. Look at the book of Psalm, chapter 100 and verse number 3. The 100th Psalm, and verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now there can be no doubt if you read your Bible, whatsoever, where we came from. God made us. That's exactly right. He made us. We did not evolve from some tadpole, some foolishness. He made us. All right. And when he made us in his image. But when he talks about that and makes reference back to it, it's quite remarkable that the way the scripture deals with this. Now, over here in 1 Timothy 2:13 again, it says that he formed the man. Now, what I'm trying to get at here with you tonight, probably stumbling around to get to this point, I want to show you something about how Christ came into this world. 1 Timothy 2:13, he formed the man, okay? In the book of John chapter number 16 and verse number 28. John 16, verse 28. The Lord Jesus says here, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. It's been said many times, all four aspects of the incarnation, the coming of Christ, and his exaltation and return to the Father are found in that one verse of scripture. But notice how he says it. He didn't say, I came forth from God. He said, I came forth from the Father. Now look at verse number 27. Now, verse number 27, John 16. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came. What? Does that make you think? Nowhere did God ever create Christ. But when the Lord Jesus came into this world, there had to be a preparation for it. He's going to be incarnate, right? Yes, he's going to be incarnate. The second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, is from everlasting to everlasting. I do not believe that there was ever a time in eternity when God begat the Son and the Son came into existence. I do not believe that. I don't care what they teach in the Baptist Bible colleges. I do not believe that. Christ is forever. There never was a time when he did not exist. But when he came into this world, the scripture, notice, he came out from the Father. Now let's go back and look at John 3:3. The Lord said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. All right? Now, I've done enough running references on this thing. I've checked into it time and time and time again. Read what many learned men have had to say about this. And I can't get one single person to show me a scripture in the Old Testament that says you must be born again. Can't. You can't find it. You're not going to find it. It's not there. So why did Christ rebuke Nicodemus and say, you should know this? Remember how I told you we came into this world? Now notice, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visiteth him? Over there in Hebrews chapter 2. Notice the close parallel between Christ and man. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul, right? The first man to ever walk the face of this earth was Adam. Doesn't mean that that was the first person or first thing to walk this earth, but he was the first man to walk this earth. And that was Adam, all right? The second man is who? It's Christ, all right? And he's the Lord from heaven. The first man, Adam. So Adam is the first man, and he's the first Adam. And then Christ is the last Adam. All right. We'll try to get this together. So where did I come from? Did I come from the dirt, dust of the ground? Where did I come from? Me. Because you see, to be absent from the body, making a clear distinction, the body goes back to the ground from whence it came. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Exactly. Now, what you'd notice, it talks about spirits over here in Hebrews chapter number 1 that are made. These angels are made. But the Lord Jesus Christ, it does not say he was made. It says he was begotten. Oh, boy. That's quite a thing. Now, is the Lord Jesus Christ a spirit being? Of course he is. The essence of God, he's a spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, spirit. He's a spirit being. Do we know the essence of God, the essence of a spirit? No. So therefore, we do not know the essence of God. That's what that means. Do we? I swear you could hear a church mouse march through here tonight. What I'm trying to do is make you think. What I'm trying to do is to show you who we are. What I'm trying to do tonight is to show you our relationship with God. And what I'm trying to do tonight is to show you how that we just look over things and throw them aside and listen to all the standard. I have discovered in the few years I've been on this earth that conventional wisdom. Say, what is conventional wisdom? Conventional wisdom is what's taught in the Bible colleges. It's what people share with each other, and they as they correspond with each other, they talk, this and that and this and that. It is the accepted view or understanding of something as it relates to this life. That is conventional wisdom, but it does not mean that it is the real truth or the depths of that truth as it relates to life. How many of you understand tonight? How many of you understand tonight that there is much that could be said that can never be said publicly? Exactly. So that's conventional wisdom. That's conventional wisdom. And the problem is that most preaching and most of the teaching, they get the commentaries, they read what the crowd said, and that's all they get. You're not going to get any more than that. But the truth of the matter is, you are unique. Amen. You are a special being. And right now in this world, God is preparing you for something that is far greater than you could ever imagine in your mind. Far above and beyond what conventional wisdom teaches. Here's conventional wisdom. One day I'm going to leave, I'm going to go be with the Lord, and I'm going to move into my mansion, and hallelujah, I'm going to put my mailbox out there, and I'm going to get my mail. And I'm going to set up housekeeping, and I'm going to live in my mansion from here on out. Well, that's okay. I hope there's more to you than that. The Bible said his right hand are pleasures forevermore. He's preparing you to exalt you. You see, Christ came out from the Father. That's what it said in John. He came out from the Father. Does that mean the Father created him? No. Does it mean he made him? No. But it does mean that in order for him to come into this world, the Father had to give his Son. Now, how deep that goes, I can't say that to you. I can't tell you tonight. It's one of those things you get off in the dark, light a candle, and do some praying, and do some thinking and meditating. And believe me, folks, you're looking at a preacher that believes the Lord Jesus Christ is Almighty God in flesh. I do. Amen. Firmly believe that. But I also believe that in order for him to come into this world and die on a cross, God had to incarnate himself in the flesh. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. So he came out. Notice, he came out from the Father. Now, I don't know if you got any ideas on that tonight. Or are you thinking, is it kind of got you stirred up? Are you thinking, what in the world's going on here? Well, that's good, though, because that's the way we study the Bible. And the Bible is not a simple book. And I'm afraid that if all you ever have is conventional wisdom when it comes to studying the Scripture, we're going to be severely limited. We are going to be severely limited. Over here in Psalm 82, look at this. Psalm 82. Verse number 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. And now he speaks to them. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. All right, now go to John chapter 10 and verse number 34. And we'll start reading with verse number 30 in John chapter 10. I and my Father are one. So what does this mean? That means he's equal to the Father. And obviously, on the surface of it, that's simply what it means. But there's more to it than that. You cannot divide the Godhead. You can't chop it up into three gods. There's just one God. But in verse number 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you for my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Well, they got it. They got it. They got it. They did. I mean, their assumption is correct. He did make himself God. Jesus answered them. Now watch this. Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? Little g. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. Look at the comparison. See the comparison? He said to them, we're talking about spirit beings in the Old Testament, essentially angels or angelic beings. The Hebrew word translated angel many places is Elohim. All right? That's the same word that can be translated God. When you come into the New Testament and you find the word angel, it's usually angelos, which is the Greek word where we get our English word angel, angelos. All right? And usually, conventional wisdom, when they teach about angels today, they simply say, well, the word angelos means messenger. Well, an angel is far more than simply a messenger. But anyway, let's get back to the text. Here we have spirit beings, angels, that are going to be judged, and they're going to die like men. And the Lord Jesus says to these people, he says, sayest thou to me, who am, look at this. Say ye of him, verse 36, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. For if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Now, of course, they were confronted with their own theology. They were confronted with their own Bible. And they were confronted with their own interpretation of it. So how are you going to deal with this? This is what he does. And he does it over and over and over again. Nicodemus, you must be born again. All right, like I said to you a moment ago. There's not a word in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that says you must be born again. Okay, not a word. So where would Nicodemus get the idea that man was ever born of God? Do you think he'd get it from reading the Bible? Of course he would. Why? He came from God. He came out of God. When God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, where did that breath come from? It came from inside God. All right, now I'm going to take a step here, and don't jump all over me when I take it. I'll run out the back door. What went on when that breath came out of God? Where did this come from? Where did you come from? Where'd you come from? Angels were created. They're made. All right? All right? But notice how that when I set the context to the man in the scripture, the man is, he's formed, you know, things of that nature. We know that God created man. I can't answer it, but I'm going to put it out there just to make you think about it. And that is, what may seem to be so simple may have a profound meaning in it if you do a little praying over it. Because truth of the matter is, when we leave here, where do we go? Where do we go? Are we going to, are you concerned about going to heaven, or are you going to God? We're going back to God. That's where we're going. We're going back where we came from. That's right. That's why he said, I'm making you in my image. And that image is it goes much deeper than conventional wisdom. Remember, I've told you before, no angel can pray. Not a word in the Bible about anything praying, but a man made in the image of God. And that's just one of many things that set us apart from all the rest of the creatures. And now here we are tonight with the church of the living God. The church of God, aren't we? I don't carry on a whole lot about Baptist. I'm a Baptist in the sense that I agree with most of what the Baptists teach. But the problem is, folks, Baptists run the gamut. I mean, they've polled pole. You can get into everything in the world with a Baptist. So you got to be careful with that. I'm a Christian. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. I believe he's the absolute fullness of God, isn't he? All right? Now, what does the Bible say about our relationship to Christ? All right. My life is hid where? In Christ. And he has been accepted in the beloved. So therefore, my life is in the one who made me. So I encourage you tonight, with all that's in me, don't let Satan rob you of your identity and who you are. And let me say this again. This is important. You know this little schism going on between the president and the pope. I know it doesn't bother me one bit, believe me. I mean, I'm the argument is meaningless, but here's the point. There's 2 billion people in this world that think that Pope is the successor of Peter, and they believe that he speaks ex cathedra, and they believe that he's the highest when it comes to the Christian Church, and that and so they've elevated him to that point and to that position, okay, and they've made him that. Now he's the Pope of the Catholic Church. You have the Metropolitans in the Orthodox churches. You have them, all the different churches and all the different denominations. They all have their leaders. The Coptics have their own Pope in Egypt, and on and on and on it goes. Let me tell you something tonight. There's not a soul walking the face of this earth that is over you, between you and Christ. Amen. Not one. Amen. Not one. Not one. You have absolute direct access to the Father through the Son. Amen. Yes, sir, buddy. Yes, sir. Don't ever let anybody try to ram himself between you and God. Now, intercessors and people praying for us, thank God for all that, yes. But you're unique. Every one of us, if we are born again believers tonight, we have our own unique personal relationship with the Father through the Son. Amen. That ought to be something to rejoice about. Amen. And no church, no synod, no denomination, no nothing, no anybody can come in there and come between you and the Father. They can't do it. I'm thankful for that tonight. I am. That's a big deal. I'm thankful for that tonight. Lord, thank you. Bless you for your word. I pray I've said something tonight, be a blessing and a help to people. I pray for the sweet Holy Spirit to be able to move freely in this house. Lord, in all the ways that I possibly can, let me exalt Christ. Let me lift up his blessed, sweet, high, and holy name. Let me lift him up, and not me, but him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. God bless you.